Welcome to Channel Chat, Search NetworkingChannel.com's weekly news podcast for the week ending January 30th, 2009. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Editor.
And this is Rivka Little, Site Editor for Search Networking Channel.
Today we'll be joined by Joe Hagan, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff. Joe will be discussing the White House policies on wireless devices and what that might mean for Obama's communication and access to his beloved BlackBerry. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
So, Joe, we thought we would start with just asking you sort of basic question. I know that you were in the White House in the Bush years, and I just wanted you to start by describing your chief security concerns as they related to wireless devices in the White House while you served.
Well, our general concern was the same that any business or industry group would or should have, and that is vulnerability to hacking, to eavesdropping, putting malware, spyware into the device. It's a big concern, and so we were pretty focused on that, both from a state-sponsored perspective and also from just the casual local hacker.
What specific restrictions did you end up putting in place regarding mobile devices while you were in office?
Well, it evolved over time. Initially, when we first came into the White House, no one there had BlackBerry. And I don't want to pick on BlackBerry. No one had a smartphone at the time. And it was really September 11th that drove us to start issuing them on a limited basis in 2001. At that point, most staff on Capitol Hill were using the devices, and the executive branch had decided they were just too risky to, from a security perspective, to be using. After September 11th, when we had such great difficulty communicating between ourselves, we decided that it was worth taking the added risk to go ahead and deploy the devices, which we did. And initially, we obviously would not allow, and to this day won't allow, the transmission of any technically classified data. You know, classified in the federal government is a term of art, and it's something that's classified, confidential, secret, or top secret. None of that information can be passed over any non-secure device. So that was disallowed. And then over time, as we realized how vulnerable these devices really were, we began to severely limit their use overseas. And then we would also severely limit their use, or we would disallow their presence in highly sensitive meetings. People would be directed and mandated to leave the devices elsewhere during sensitive discussions.
How many devices were actually deployed, and did President Bush ever have access to one?
The initial buy, I think, was for 50, and then it went to 200, and then by the end of the administration, almost every full-time person had a BlackBerry. Like most business and industry, you just get so dependent on them for up-to-the-minute communications and just an improvement in productivity. They were spread throughout the organization. The president did not ever have one. I mean, from time to time, he would talk on one if one of us had had somebody on the line that he was looking to talk with. But no, he did not ever personally have one or send any email over one.
Was that because he didn't want one, or there was fear that it was just too risky?
Too risky. It was clearly too risky, and at that point, there was very little available from a technical basis to protect them, and he had been a prolific user of a laptop and PC when he was governor and during the campaign, and when faced with all of the restrictions and concerns from a legal and political perspective, he stopped using those also. Because again, back in 2000, that was really 2000, 2001, those were much more the thing to have than a BlackBerry is today.
I know you said that there was a decision to not send anything top secret or classified via these devices, but how did you determine that beforehand? And also, did that apply to voice also or just data transmission?
No, that applies to voice also. That's a long-standing government rule. The devices that are used for transmitting highly classified information are determined by the security and intelligence organizations. You know, they have very specific categories of devices that are permitted to transmit classified information, and no over-the-air, no non-encrypted over-the-air device would ever be permitted for either voice or data.
So now there seems to be this decision that Obama can use a BlackBerry for a small group of his associates, friends, and then he has this other device that people are speculating as a Sectera Edge, which is the one that was made by General Dynamics. So I'm wondering if you have any opinions as to whether the Sectera Edge could be better encrypted or safer than a BlackBerry, or just sort of what your general opinion is of that device.
The limitations on most of the, or all of the secure equipment that I'm aware of for the transmission of technically classified information, the limitation is that the recipient has to have the same device or a similar device. So I doubt that the government's going to get in the business of giving the president's friends and family secure instruments, which themselves are frequently classified or at least controlled so they don't fall into the wrong hands. That'd be a difficult prescription to solve the problem. Now, if he were using one of those, maybe to pass information with staff who would be authorized to have the clearances to be in possession of that sort of technology. But the circle of friends and family, I find it hard to believe that they would be given access to that that sensitive technology.
So I just wonder what the purpose of the Sectera Edge would be, because that would seem to limit the group that he's able to access as much as the other, as the BlackBerry that he would have.
Well, you know, everything that the President of the United States says is sensitive. You know, there are people in the world who, if he has a cold, they want to know that. If he's not feeling well, they want to know that. If he's in a bad mood, they, you know, that's a useful intelligence to have. So it may be that some of his calls are going over the Sectera. Clearly, the President of the United States has 24/7 access to all of the secure communications equipment, all of the state-of-the-art secure communications equipment that the government has, and which come in many, many forms, but he always has his, you know, secure instrument of one sort or another at his fingertips. That would not be anything new for this president.
But as far as his surrounding staff, I mean, what happens with, you know, the staff that's close to him? How are those devices secure? It seems to me that they might be just as sensitive as the president's device itself.
The one thing that this story has done, hopefully, is to raise awareness of not just senior government officials, but corporate and industry leaders as to the size of this problem. You know, anyone that has sensitive, proprietary data, negotiating strategies or passwords, account codes, anything like that is information that there are people out there who would love to steal it. And the proliferation of these devices with as limited a security as they have on them is a giant problem. And it's not just in the United States. It's in a lot of countries. If you look in Asia, Japan, for instance, they're starting to use smartphones for at point of sale for paying for things. Instead of a credit card, people are able to, you know, access ATMs or use data that's transmitted over the smartphone to pay for purchases. We're not doing that here, but there's very limited use of that. But given the vulnerability of these systems, you know, that sort of information would be very valuable to someone looking to steal either financial resources or information resources that would have a value in the marketplace. The senior staff at the White House is just as vulnerable, has to take precautions. The thing that sets the president apart from really anyone else is not the technical challenges that are out there. It's the legal and the political challenge that's there. The technical piece can be solved. You know, there's the S-Mobile system software that can go pretty far in protecting the devices. It's, again, the political and the legal challenges. The legal challenge comes from the Presidential Records Act, and that all of those messages that he sends have to be captured and retained. They become presidential records for the rest of history. And the political challenge is, you know, if any of that information is intercepted, you know, it could clearly be used against him. And it could be through no fault of his own, but let's say a friend of his sent something controversial to him. you know, if it got out, the questions would come, well, did the president repudiate his friend? Did the president cut off contact with his friend? Does the president agree with this point of view? And it's just sort of the part of the game in Washington, D.C. these days is to use information like that in a negative way. And so if through some interception of his messages, that sort of thing came into the public consciousness, you'd start having all of those concerns, and it would be a big political issue for the White House. And then the legal one, again, is just that all those records are permanent. You know, it's not like yours or my emails that go off into the ether somewhere. These become permanent presidential records, and therefore have there are associated ramifications to that. The other challenge is if a group of people have his email address, you know how hard it would be to keep that email address confidential. Now, my guess is if they truly only give it to really close friends who understand the rules and to staff who wouldn't be forwarding information, but if it got out there, you can imagine how many people around the world would be trying to take advantage of that information somehow.
I guess my final question is, you mentioned S-Mobile, and I know there are some third-party applications that can be used to specifically secure phones and what's going in and out of them. What kinds of applications does the White House want to be looking at in the long term to deal with the actual technical side of this problem?
Well, I think they want something that actually allows them to monitor an attack that would give them real-time capability to see this sort of activity going on and therefore improve their capability to thwart the intrusion. In the late 90s and early 2000s, when you were reading about people hacking into PCs and laptops, it was mostly to just get attention. It was a big deal to suddenly announce that you had broken into 200,000 systems. Today, most of what's going on with the smartphone is being designed in a stealthy manner. You don't want to leave any fingerprints or footprints behind, because most of this is in an attempt to gain either financial information or data that could be used for financial gain. That's on the civilian side. On the state-sponsored side, it's just to get every bit of information you possibly can out of a target set. But so you're looking for security software that would, one, alert you that it's happening; two, that would be able to detect and deter the attack; third, with a portable device, you definitely want something that would lock up the device or wipe the memory clean if you lost control of it. That's another thing that we really had to emphasize a lot when we're traveling outside of the White House complex. You have to maintain personal control over that device at all times, because it's so easy for somebody to get spyware and malware on it. We tried to encourage people not to leave them in hotel rooms overnight. We wanted people to have that device with them at all times.
I really appreciate you taking so much time to talk with us. That was so interesting.
Sure, absolutely. It's a big issue, and I just think it's really important that business and industry wake up, and that the device manufacturers focus on it, and also the carriers. The carriers really need to step up and do more to help secure these transmissions.
All right. That's about all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
And this has been this week's edition of Channel Chat. Be sure to use searchnetworkingchannel.com for all of your networking channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom, and thanks for joining us.